down with OTV? Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls and gents can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs, taboo topics, unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Tuesday, Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. Not in the studio.
Oh no, it's going to be a bad podcast. I'm already blowing it.
We are in the hotel room with Cleo, who's going to be my co-host.
Hello.
And Sarah Nicole. Is that your last name, Nicole?
No, it's my middle name.
Okay.
But I was married before, so I don't want to have a man's name anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So I just go by my first and middle.
No, I like that. Sarah Nicole. It's pretty.
It's kind of hot.
I actually wish I went by Caitlin Dunn. Anyways.
Wait, what is Dunn?
My middle name, Dunn.
Your middle name.
Yeah.
Your middle name's Dunn.
Dawn.
Dawn.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird. Dawn. Dawn's pretty because it stays with you forever. Like your middle name stays with you forever.
Well, I'm going to make sure my last name stays with me forever too, just because I love it.
Good idea.
And I want it. Well, even if I don't, I want it to be like my, like if I have a little boy, I want his name to be like Bristow.
That's actually really cute.
That's cute. I think it's pretty cute. Okay. So I was very intrigued by you because I saw on one of my girlfriend's Instagram pages, she posted a picture of you, and you have a really, really interesting story of just like your journey in life. And I'm like, where do we start?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that every day. Like, where do you start?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
So yeah.
You can unpack whatever you like.
I want to unpack it all. All of it.
Okay, so one second. You may know Tommy John as the creators of the most comfortable underwear on the planet for men and women, but little did you know, they've been working on revolutionizing comfort for men's dress shirts. You know when guys like have that awkward untucked look and you're like, no, don't do that. After 6 years and 200 different wear-tested prototypes, Tommy John has perfected the Stay Tucked dress shirt. It's truly unlike anything you guys have ever experienced. The Stay Tucked dress shirt is the first of its kind, created to end the constant tuck of war men have endured for years with their dress shirts. With InvisiGrip Snap technology, you won't have to deal with any billowing or bunching. The 360-degree underarm stretch panel allows for full range of motion, stretch, twist, and even put luggage on an airplane without restriction or untucking. What? Upgrade today with Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Go to TommyJohn.com/Vine to save 20% off your first order, plus free shipping and free returns on all dress shirt purchases. That's TommyJohn.com/Vine for 20% off.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for coming. So you live just outside of...
I'm in Guelph, about an hour south from here. So I come into the city quite a bit. I have quite a few friends here and a lot of opportunity in Toronto. So it's a nice little shift between suburbia and the city. So
that's what I love too. I love that duality of living like a little bit. I love the burbs.
Yeah.
Live for the burbs. But then I also love being close to the city. Anyways, my girlfriend Bailey posted a picture and I was like, how do I get this girl on the podcast? And she was like, I think she listens to your podcast. And I was like, okay, get her on.
Yeah.
Let's do the damn thing. Oh my God, I just said that. No. Okay. Explain your story. Like, did you always want to be like a social media influencer? Is that something that you thought about? Or like, how did this all happen for you?
It's very bizarre. So I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And a big part of like finding myself within that was being a blogger. But back then I didn't really have much of an identity. So I did a lot of like DIY stuff, mm-hmm. thrifting things, anything that kind of explained like being a mom on a single budget and being at home. So the kind of my base was being a blogger. And I started an Etsy shop at one point, trying to just make jewelry for my daughters. My one had an ear sensitivity, so I had two little girls at the time. Mm-hmm. So I decided to name the shop after my two daughters' nicknames. So the first was Maya Papaya and Gemma Birdie. So out came the Birds Papaya. And
I was going to ask where the Birds Papaya. So on Instagram, you are the Birds Papaya.
That's it. Yeah, that's my handle.
And your page is gorgeous. And I love everything about it. But go on. Yes.
So that was kind of like my thing. That was like my outlet. And I moved back to my hometown. And through a lovely series of light bulb moments, realized how incredibly unhealthy I was. So I was 225 pounds.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, when you're overweight past having kids, everyone kind of is like, well, I had three kids. Like, that's a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But I was actually over 200 pounds my entire adult life. I had been overweight since I was 12. And one day somebody posted like this awful picture of me on Facebook. And it kind of just like
melted me. And I was just like, okay, I need to do something about this and I need to do it now. But I didn't have any money. I didn't have a car to go anywhere. My husband at the time worked outside the house and I was home with the kids. I didn't really have a lot of opportunity to go and do anything. I didn't even own workout clothes. But I was just kind of like determined. I had this like fire in my belly. I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to take back my life. So I started working out.
What, you said somebody posted something on Facebook, yeah, like attacking you, or just posted and you just saw and you were like
just a picture of myself that I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I really didn't see it. It was one of three. The other two were kind of, the one was more just coming home to my hometown and like all of a sudden you're running into people that you knew from high school on the street. And I was feeling like, I don't want to leave the house. And I was starting to experience like this, I don't want to leave the house feelings.
Yeah.
And then on top of that was having kids that were active and wanting to go in the pool and stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do anything with you guys because I don't want to participate because it made me feel very vulnerable in my body. So I really just, yeah, it was like obviously a mental health and a physical health thing kind of combined. So started working out in jeans on my bedroom floor.
Wow,
and
good for you.
Yeah, like 2 years later, I was 100 pounds down. And
from working,
like literally just eating right and exercising. It was very simple. And I think that everyone wanted it to be this like big thing that I did. Like, what program did you do? And I just found other women that like did workouts at home. There's, you know, Bikini Body Mommy was a good one. She had like free workouts online. Yeah. And I was like, awesome. This is exactly what I can like book myself into.
Yeah.
And I used my son as weights. He was little at the time. And I'd like pop him on my shoulder and tell him to say a number. And I would do that many squats that he told me to do. Right. So
wow, you've got to be like motivated to do that.
Sure.
Because I mean, I even find it so hard to do at home workouts because Sean has his app, the Booth Camp app, and he does ones for like moms who stay at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's so great because I need someone, even if it's on a screen, like motivating me, but still working out from home is one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids. Like I can't imagine having the motivation and the energy to have children and be motivated to lose that kind of weight.
Yeah, it was a lot. But I also think I kind of got addicted to the feeling of like locking my door and having like headphones in and getting to escape and having an excuse that I didn't feel guilty about.
Right.
It was like, mom needs to take care of herself. She's doing something that's not reading a book.
Totally.
I'm going to go work out. Like, this is what I'm going to go do. And it kind of, so anyways, at some point somebody saw it on Instagram or kind of noticed.
Steal the mic from you for a second.
Go for it.
So one of the things that I find so interesting is you're saying it was a mental health and a physical health.
For sure.
Oh, no, that was my bag that fell over. Sorry. So how was the process about of tackling the mental health portion of it? Because I think at that point it has to be mental before physical. And so what would be your recommendations for someone to get past the mental health part?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of just some on my own in the sense that I kind of recognized I had some food issues. I definitely had some food addictions and just wasn't coping with life in general. I went to a therapist and found out I had post-traumatic stress, which just made me feel like an idiot. Like, to be honest, it just felt really weird. Yeah.
I would think if somebody told me that, it would make me like feel better about like, oh, okay, that's what's going on.
It's not me.
It's not me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I felt weird. I felt like I almost felt dumb or silly that there was so much that I had been suppressing for so long that I wasn't dealing with because I was just kind of like a bubble person where I was just like, if everything's fine on the surface, that's all that matters. So I kind of went through that and it kind of comes to two different crossroads where one was I realized after losing 100 pounds that I still wasn't really happy. And so there was still more to be dealt with there. And then on the flip side, it kind of made me want to get everything in my life healthy. So part of that was actually leaving an 11-year marriage.
Wow.
So, I mean, the ground floor, everything. Like,
that
really restarting. Moving home, like, into my parents' house with three kids. Humbling as anything at 30.
That is, how many kids did you have then?
Three.
You had the three.
Yeah, this was only a few years ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was telling you this before we started recording the podcast that I'm listening to this book called Light is the New Black.
Yeah.
And just how like that's those things that you do for your own happiness to like when you know deep down in your gut something is not making you happy and something's not right to actually take the steps knowing that you're going to hit rock bottom and knowing that it's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever do when you could probably have stayed and been like somewhat happy.
Yeah.
Like you probably could have like worked on it and made it, but deep down in your soul, you knew that you needed to like go to a place where you had to like move back in with your parents and you have the three kids and you're needing to lose this weight and you're doing everything for your own soul. I think that's so inspiring.
It's crazy. And I think that the thing that kind of made me realize I had to do it was the day that I woke up and I realized I didn't want to wake up. Like I woke up and I was like, I wish I hadn't. Mm-hmm. And then I thought all this time I was laying out my life as like a sacrifice to my kids that we were just going to hold everything together.
Yeah.
And if everything was just together, then we would never have to worry about the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Everything would be fine. I'll take the sacrifice. I'll take the fall. But they weren't going to have me for much longer because I was slowly slipping away. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that. And I knew that it was going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, I told them within 30 minutes of me walking out the door that this was happening. And
kids are resilient.
They
too.
Are. Oh, my son was like, the girls were all crying. We're all crying. We're having like this moment. Mm-hmm. And they were so sweet. And I just said to them, I didn't really get into like the details. I just mm-hmm. said, do you trust my heart? Mm-hmm. And they were like, yes, we trust you. We trust you. And my son's like, but like, do we get a goodie bag for this? And I was like, no, like, get out of here. Like, what's wrong with you? We're all crying. And he's just sitting there like,
what do I get out of this?
Yeah. And he's like, but like the two Christmases, right? Like that. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, child, like chill out for a hot second.
Oh my
gosh. So resilient. And we've had a lot of, I am very open with them. I think a lot of that comes from being such a young mom with them. I wasn't really a mom who had a lot of like education in like how to be a mom. So I was just winging it all the time. So a
as
lot
most
of like
moms
our conversation. Yeah. As they should.
Yes.
Growing with them was cool.
Yeah.
So I got to have a lot of these very raw, real conversations. And we still do. I'll be like, how do you feel about the fact that this happened? Like, are you upset about it? Are you mad at me?
Yeah.
I don't want them to like hold any of that. So they kind of, we have really open conversations about it and they're
That's
actually
amazing.
Really happy about it. Yeah.
That's so nice to hear. My sister does this thing called the feelings jar where you like put your feelings, if you're like worried or upset or mad or anything that you're feeling that's like negative, you'll put it in the worry jar and then you'll revisit it like the next day. And if it's still bothering you, you can put it back in the jar, but you talk about it.
Oh, I love that.
And then like maybe in like five days.
Is this for adults or kids?
You could do both.
Okay, I want that.
You can do the worry jar. I guess you can do that as an adult too, because you can, if you like, you know, if it's still bothering you in a week, then it's something that you really need to talk about. And if it's something that, you know, then you can just, you have that, like, I told my sister you should burn it, like, or just throw it away, you know, just physically throwing it away.
And that allows room for communication. And I think something, sometimes that's hard to know how to communicate with your children because, you know, you're expecting them to tell you, but they might not. So this is opening the door, which is amazing. But I need to do that.
Yeah. Well, I think people in general struggle to communicate, like, I happen to think I'm really good at it. But
I'm an over communicator. So I'm Same. Like, let's talk about everything. This is what I'm feeling right now. My fiance is very like, I'll sleep on it. If it bothers me tomorrow, I'll talk to you about it. And I'm like, wait, what bothers you? Let's talk about it right now. Let's unpack everything forever.
But I'm the same way.
I like to talk everything out.
How did you meet your fiance?
Fast forward to that? Yeah. It was so, this is like so coming back to what you were talking about fate and like whatever that
book
was.
The universe. And
the universe. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I had just left my husband. I'm living at my parents' house. I'm working as a bar server. Not really sure what I'm going to do with my life. And my friend calls me up. She's like, I need somebody to call, like cover my mat leave. We don't really have a lot of time to go through like interview process. Would you like be interested in coming in? So I'm like, oh my gosh, a job. Yeah. This was like a company I'd been like had my eyes on for a couple years. So I walk in and on like the very first day I'm like getting trained and there's like a lot of people and you're taking it all in. And she's pointing everybody out and showing me who they are. And she goes, and that's Shane. He wears plaid every day. And I remember her saying that because it's like burned in my soul. And I just looked at him and I was like, something inside me was like, he's important. Not you're in love with him.
Right.
I had no interest in dating. I didn't really want anybody. It was just like this. He's important. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I made him my best friend like immediately. And we were just very connected, very off the bat. And he was kind of in the ends of his own relationship. I had just come out of mine. So we just kind of became really best friends. Mm-hmm. And we started hanging out around the kids. And then my kids started, you know, mom, can you date that guy? And like my daughter was like trying to wing woman me like a ton. And she's going up to him being like, do you like my mom? Do you think she's pretty? Do you think
you like her more than a friend?
A date? Yeah. Like 100%.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm one of like the very lucky ones where my kids were actually really into the idea of like me being with somebody instead of me being like, here's my boyfriend, fall in love with him.
Right.
It was very, very different.
Wow. What is his name?
Shane.
Oh yeah. You said that.
That's okay.
Shane. Oh, who does he still wear plaid?
Not as much. I started, like, he's the perfect Ken doll. He lets me buy whatever I want and put it on him. So, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
He does wear some plaid, but he did grow out of it a little bit. He got a beard now, and he got a little lumberjacky if he wears plaid all the time.
Oh, so. Yeah. Because you're pretty into fashion, no?
Like, yes and no. I love being stylish, but I'm not into, like, high-end fashion. I'm very much like, can I thrift it?
Oh, I'm so into that. That's I was going to ask you from earlier when you said you did a lot of, like, what is it? DIY?
DIY stuff.
Did you know I like, just found out what that meant? Like, no, not even. Didn't. Yes, I did. I was like, I always pretended like I knew. I'd be like, yeah, DIY. Like, I had no idea. I had no idea what it meant, do it yourself. And I never wanted to ask because now I'm admitting it. Maybe that can be my confession. It's not that good. But I was like, what kind of, like, a mom's on a budget? I feel like there's probably so many out there that listen to the podcast that, like, what are your, like, top five tips for moms on a budget?
Thrifting is actually the most amazing thing you could ever do.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. I think even as I've come along the lines and I don't really, like, need to thrift, like, I'm still single income until I get married next week. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot that happens with thrifting that you don't anticipate. And a lot of it's the hunt, like that feeling and that, like, energy when you find something that you know is, like, $500 and you got it for $20.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's big for me. I still love to, like, splurge on, like, a staple piece. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a very underestimated thing.
Yes.
If there's things like a jacket you're going to wear every single day, you have to think about that. Your shoes can be yes or no. Mm-hmm. Your handbags.
Yeah.
Things that actually impact your day every single day. Spend the money on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, for everything else, like, just have fun with it. You can spray paint anything at a thrift store. I learned that along the lines too. If you go and you look and you're like, oh, I love this, but, like, it's not my color, friggin' spray paint it.
And
so
I
satisfying.
Feel like you can find any kind of, like, how to do it on YouTube videos.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, you can do anything. And then I feel like it's very rewarding at the end where you feel like you really did something in your day. Like, look at me go.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. I think that you're always driven to whatever you want. Like, I don't think I was ever somebody who, even if I had, like, no money at all, would, like, just disregard my home or disregard my style. I would just, like, find ways around it.
Right.
I think that that's kind of, like, the key is, like, not abandoning who you are as a person, regardless of what's in your bank account. I think you can be classy and you can have fun and you can, like, style your wardrobe and cut it up and learn how to sew and do whatever, right? It's a lot of fun.
It makes you feel better.
Oh, gosh. It's so much more rewarding when you, like, friggin' worked for it.
Yeah.
Too. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I love it.
And speaking of which, so where are the marriage plans? Actually found out that Sarah's going to Vancouver and Tofino for her honeymoon.
Yes, I am.
Which is so exciting.
I am poaching your friend Bailey for a little glass of wine.
Oh, yes. Oh, Bailey's amazing. Oh, so exciting. Tofino.
Yeah. So we're going to Tofino for a few days. We won a trip with BMW.
Oh.
Like, through, like, this series of events in Toronto. We did, like, a dare. We went up and did, like, the CN Tower edge walk.
Oh.
And, like, all of these, like, weird challenges in a day. And we won a two-night stay in Tofino. So we're going there for, like, a mini moon.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You've been, right?
No.
You haven't been to Tofino?
I haven't been to Tofino.
Oh, you would love it. It's the most West Coast place, I think, that I've been.
I've never been to the West at all, so.
It's going to be amazing. And the hotel you're staying at is so beautiful. And you're just going to do tons of walks. And
that's amazing.
I would love it too.
Yeah. We have talked about wanting to go there. We just haven't done it.
Is it like a surf town?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a surf town. Wait, I wanted to go back to something else. Wedding plans. Yes.
I'm getting married next week. That's the plan.
Yeah. Oh, so by the time this comes out, you're going to be a married woman.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to me.
Yes. Oh, that's
that?
So exciting.
Happens so fast.
Man, yeah, not for me.
Yeah.
Like, not for this
one. It's a little bit different with kids because I feel like they need that, like, nesting. And I think that we went for a while. When we got engaged in December, we were talking about, like, when are we actually going to do the wedding? And I was like, oh, gosh, we're balancing between two houses and three kids and, like, a lot of life. It just made way more sense that we could just be in one house and, like, be together. And because, like, not that, like, custody would be an issue, I just still felt like I wanted the security of everything. So we just decided to get married this year. So next week it is. Kind of, yeah. Under 100 people. We're doing, like, a little lakeside wedding. And
So nice.
I thrifted my dress. Well, I consigned it.
You did?
I freaking did.
Oh, that's amazing.
And you know what? It's weird because, like, a lot of people are like, don't you feel weird about not having a dress that's brand new? And I'm like, no, I feel amazing having a dress that, like, somebody else's love story was connected to. And now it's connected to mine. And, like, I'm going to give it back and we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. I'm actually totally into that idea. I wouldn't want... Yeah. I would be totally fine with, like, a... Not like if you like the sisterhood of the traveling pants.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw the movie, but
and, like,
Is that what it is? They pass it on.
Jeans? Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so cool. It's just, I don't know. There's like memories in that. Like somebody like was in love and like set their vows in that dress and like hopefully it worked out for them. And,
hopefully it's not cursed.
I don't know. Married? September 1st.
September 1st.
Oh my gosh, creep hard. I actually have a videographer that's coming and I'm like, can you leave at the reception and just like edit something I can put up that night? Because I feel like this, and you probably feel this a little bit too. There's a bit of responsibility to the people who love you. And I don't want to be like by my phone or doing that the whole day. But when you store your day and people kind of become like attached to you, like I respect that because I do that with a lot of people too. You build like this relationship. And I think that one of the things that works for people is as you grow is staying genuine and very intentional with your audience. Like it actually gives me anxiety when I can't like reply to people when it's getting to that point now where I have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Because you can only do so much.
It is hard. Cleo and I just did a podcast about authenticity and it's like, it is hard because once when your platform and your audience grows, it comes with people who want to bring you down as well.
Oh yeah.
So it's hard to get in the mental state to go into your comments and want to reply and have that responsibility when you're like, who do I trust? Who's going to be mean? I don't want to read this, but I want to read the nice ones. It's so hard
to. And you have to balance the reality of it because somebody said to me, why do you allow like some of these comments up here? Like if it's a mean one and I'll leave them up there until they become hate. And if they're anything hateful, I take them down.
Yeah.
So, but I do leave them up there because I think it's hard when people look at somebody who is any type of status, whether small, big or anything, they just, all they see is these people being praised. And there's a lot of like dark undertow with all of this that I think leaving it there shows people, I don't even have to address it, but it shows people the realness of that. It.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, usually it just somebody else defends you. You don't really have to do it.
Oh, the team behind. Yeah, it's so nice. Yeah, it's so nice. But that's so true. I like, you know, on Instagram, you can make it so that people can't say certain words.
I didn't know that, but I thought it was weird that like I have gotten a lot less trolley comments.
You know what I had to put in as my like trigger word to like they can't. Slut and whore.
No.
Because that's like how bad it was after the show that those are like the main things I put in my like don't say this on my comments.
You need to leave like a slut walk in your town. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
Oh, my hometown does it, but it's like a slut walk and it's like literally taking back like the word and like how it's been like labeled on women for far too long. And
yeah.
I don't know what's involved and never attended it, but I always see it and I'm like, yes.
Oh, I'm going to look into that.
Girls. Yeah. Slut walk. I love it. I think it's so cool.
Excuse me.
Wow. I wish you guys could see the visual of what just happened.
I'm like right in a good like moment too. I saw like I ate a big tofu bowl before I came up here.
Delicious.
Yeah, so good. And now the wine's kicking in. You know how it goes.
If you guys have ever seen stuff from Express, it's really cute. When your billable hours start running into your happy hours, there's no time for an outfit change. Rewrite the rules of dressing for the job with Style for Work at Express. These fashion-forward pieces are designed to make syncing your professional schedule and personal life easier than ever. Shop Style for Work at Express and go from your first meeting to last call, God, I like where their head's at, without compromising your personal style. Check out Express for all the best dress pants, work tops, blazers, and dresses, and newest looks for work, that upcoming job interview, or just refresh your closet so that you can dress for the job that you want. And even better, you can shop more sizes and more styles than ever. You can shop women's sizes 00 to 18 at express.com and in select stores. So shop Style for Work now at your nearest Express store or on express.com and get $25 off when you spend $100 on anything at Express using code Caitlin in store or 4841 at express.com. That's promo code Caitlin in store or 4841 at express.com. Some exclusions apply.
Obviously, we're creeping you. We were creeping your Instagram hard. And there was this one post, and I think, you know, to sum back, go back to your story, there was this one post that we read and we almost cried in the car. Really moved us. And I think that you should read it.
I can't. I'll cry.
Okay. Wait, do you want me to read it? I'm going to read
it.
It's the one you posted it on July 16th. Actually, can I have my wine?
Yes.
Okay. And so it's just going to be like a couple minutes. I'm going
to
read this.
I'm going to listen to my own words.
Yes. You're going to listen to your own words.
This is going
to
be beautiful.
I cried in the Uber today.
Yeah. And I hope that I don't cry. And I think I just love to hear your thoughts on what you were thinking when you wrote this post.
But describe the picture first.
Okay. So the picture is a picture of you, I guess, back in the day when you were
like overweight.
Yeah. And then there's one where you lost a lot of weight. Yep. And then now where you are today.
Yes.
And so here it goes. Over, under, balanced. I've noticed something over the years. I've watched and been inspired through hundreds of stories of women working to improve themselves. Losing weight, hunkering down, tackle the issues. Slowly but surely out comes a whole new person. The after. This post isn't to inflate one or shame another. This is a post to explain that. While you think you may know about one's body and gauge success based on appearances, maybe it's time we stop to show grace, love, and celebration of all bodies. That first photo, she was in the weeds of motherhood, pregnancies, and postpartum, but her body was working. She was overweight, exhausted, and victim to her food addictions. But she grew and birthed three babies throughout it all. So So I will celebrate her. That middle photo, she'd lost 110 pounds, weight coming off steadily through exercise and food tracking over the course of 2 years. And even though she dipped too low, I'm proud of her too, because she was in the most stressful time of her life. She was struggling with gut issues, divorce, complete life uprooting while working two jobs and raising three kids. She maybe didn't have everything right, but she was working it out, and I will celebrate her. Yeah, yes. We're celebrating.
I know, me too.
I'm getting teary. That's my whole freaking story.
Goosebumps. It's so beautiful, though.
Oh. And then there's a third photo, the now. That girl, she found her balance. Somewhere that isn't so restrictive and terrified of food, but still mindful of that old addiction. She's confident in her body more than ever. She's owning it. She's still learning and dealing with stress in better, more healthy ways. And she's still far too busy for her own good, but she's landing in a safe place. I will celebrate her, too. There will be photos to follow these and more after that. This is not a spectrum of success, but a development of one story. It's not a straight line, and it's okay to be working towards a balance and learning along the way. I was overweight. I was underweight. I am now balanced, but I will celebrate this journey. It has taught me so much, and more importantly, helped me fall in love with myself enough to care. Take time to celebrate where you've come from and where you are, and there's so much to be thankful for. There is so much to celebrate.
I honestly, I am a little emotional about it, just because I'm like, you are such a like writer, like just the way you spoke like that, like it's, I mean, it's just, I can't, I don't even have words, because I'm just like, that everything you said was so perfect and so inspiring and so beautiful.
Thank you.
And maybe like
touch on, like, talk about what that balance is, because I think that is the key to a happy life. And yeah. So how you feel about your balance today?
Yeah, and balance is such a tricky thing for so many people. Like, even when you do feel like you're a balanced person, it's still like such a gray area of what balance is, to right. Because everybody probably has a different definition of balance.
Absolutely, and everybody's bodies function differently. And I think there's a lot that you just have to recognize, that we each are our own person. But mm-hmm. I think for me, I'm one of the very few, I don't know how many in the world, but there's not a lot of people who have lived on both ends of the spectrum, who have been very overweight right. and then very underweight, and can say, you know what, I didn't find happiness at either end. So something's yeah. not right there.
Yes.
So when you start to kind of date yourself and romance yourself and get to know who you are, you kind of get to find your own balance. Like for me, I'm not afraid of food anymore, but I am still very cautious about what I eat, because I want to eat with intention. I like yeah. to eat something that's actually going to take care of me, because I actually love myself. I want to live as long as possible. Yeah. I would like to live without pain. I want to yeah. live happily, like mental clarity. There's just so much that comes past through all of this stuff, and we put so much focus on what we can physically see.
Yes.
And there's a lot of praise and reward to what we can see. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of turmoil that's going on inside, but if you deal with that, it doesn't matter what you put out, because it's always freaking beautiful, because you believe it more than anybody. Like I shouldn't technically love myself more now than I did like a year ago when I was another 20 pounds less, but yeah. I'm so much happier now. And there was a lot of, like, usually when it comes to Instagram and like being vulnerable, those first times that like I showed my stomach and my stretch marks and all that stuff, like it's a very vulnerable place. Usually if I'm nervous to post it, I know it's important, and I yes. have to listen to that gut mm-hmm. feeling, because I know that if I'm sharing it, somebody else is feeling what I felt. Yep. Even if it was a year ago, even if I felt it yesterday, somebody else in the world is there. Because when I had kids, none of my friends had stretch marks. None of them had those bodies. I was the only one. That's the best part about social media, is you get to find those people yes. and connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be that person sometimes and get, like, give people that permission to stop caring so much about things that are actually really beautiful experiences of your body.
I love that. I hope everybody who's listening follows your account, because it is, like,
I hope they do too,
because I do think even if you don't like connect to that specific story, you still are yeah. such an inspiration for like investing in yourself.
Yeah.
So I think like no matter what shape or size anyone is, like even it would just be like beneficial to anyone to follow you.
I think it's full hashtag Reelstagram.
Yes.
But then it's so funny. I was thinking about this yesterday because if you go back in my account, there's like obviously the beginnings of the weight loss. And then it was like, I almost like felt like I needed to be sexy and like I'm never smiling at anything. And I went through this phase of like I needed to feel this certain way and everything was like very curated and definitely face-tuned my body far too many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, we fall into these traps where we feel like we want that perfection, but social media is kind of starting to take that back. We're now appreciating more real like reality because I think that we went from I follow some beautiful people on Instagram and I'm not ashamed of that at all.
Yeah,
I love seeing pretty pictures. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But there's something about beauty that's shifting. There's something about like someone was telling me about like your bare face post, how they just like freaking loved that, and I was like, yeah, like that's it's so weird. It is. I think we are. We're
that's a good point, Cleo.
An appetite.
People are craving real. And I think anyone you talk to would agree with that. Like, because you are so... Now we're so aware of the social media, like, bubble and, like, how it is just like people trying to have like an aesthetically pleasing page and now that you can do both. Like,
you can.
And I think everyone has kind of just realized from scrolling that they are always comparing themselves, so they do crave that realness to be like, oh, okay, other people are doing the same thing I'm doing, I'm not alone, and I should like be happy and love myself for who I am and not compare myself.
We'll be back with more Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey guys, if you like my show, then you're going to love the Natalie Eva Marie Show on Podcast One. The former WWE and Total Diva star, along with husband Jonathan Coyle, team up to deliver one-of-a-kind opinions not heard on any other podcast. With a rotating guest list including celebrities, influencers, and activists, get ready to be informed, intrigued, and entertained. Check out the Natalie Eva Marie Show every Wednesday on Podcast One or wherever your favorite podcasts are.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Erin Treloar, who is the founder of Raw Beauty Talks, sent me a link to this story that says selfies are shifting our definition of beauty. It's called Snapchat Dysmorphia, and it makes people want to look like an edited version of themselves.
Yeah, like what is that? But I think that everyone kind of goes through that. I think that maybe as part of the self-acceptance part is we just need those filters for a while
Everyone has it. And so you see, the reality isn't real, but you have that social pressure to feel like you need to look like that. And then so I'm 100% guilty. I love the filters. And I was like, oh, I don't even have to wear makeup. The filter will do it. It's so much easier and it's better for my skin. But yeah, I know. And that's why I love the Reelstagram movement. I love what Erin's doing with Raw Beauty, because it's accepting and realizing that that's just not real. As long as you can accept that,
the fact that there's a term from doctors for it, like it's an actual term they've come up with called Snapchat dysmorphia, and it's a form of body dysmorphia, and not everyone's using the filters suffers from this condition. Like, it's a condition.
Wow.
Not surprised.
What defines it though? Like,
but they said it's just further evidence that what may seem like harmless software can have a seriously negative impact on a person's mental health. It causes people to like obsess over what they view as defects or flaws in their appearance. They're more prone to try and find ways to look like their filtered photos permanently. In extreme cases, they may even seek plastic surgery, but that's not something everybody can afford, and doctors can reject patients they deem mentally unstable. Because think about it. Think about like in your adult self and making decisions to like, oh, I'm like, I'm going to do some preventative Botox. I'm going to get some fillers. Yeah, like,
but I love Botox.
Me too. I talk about Botox.
The best thing.
I call my forehead a skating rink because it's just like a smooth,
body
silky, like,
by the way, it's 100% just authority over choosing what you want.
Yes.
I don't really care what people do with themselves.
Yes.
But like, it's just like, that's why I don't feel like there should be shame around like a tummy tuck if somebody chooses it, or like if you do Botox or if you do lip fillers, which I also do. But it's more just like, I get to choose that.
Yes.
I want to do it. And I'm not listening to the rest. It's that ownership.
I think this is more of a concern for like fragile teenagers who don't know themselves yet and don't understand what like true like self-love is.
Yeah.
Like we're in our 30s, so we've accepted it. But I can't imagine just when you're in high school having to deal with this, then I think that that's where there's a little bit more of the concern. And how do you communicate that to those teenagers? Because, you know, in your 30s, true, I think you come into yourself. But we were just talking about it. Like, we're so glad that we didn't go through that phase when their social media was so big.
And I'm watching my daughter kind of go through it a little bit now. But it's funny because I remember when I first lost weight, I took so many selfies. It's like I almost like needed this like constant validation. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, like, you know, when I remember back like years ago, it would normally only be like when I was pregnant and I felt mm-hmm. beautiful, or when I had just gotten my hair done, or like mm-hmm. something like that, that, you know, projected me towards wanting to take a selfie, made me feel worthy enough to take that picture. So then when I lost all this weight, I was like, yes, 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 pictures, pictures, pictures all mm-hmm. the time. I want all of it with the filters, of course. And then as it's gone, all of a sudden I'll look at my phone and I'll be like, oh, I haven't like actually taken a picture of myself like in a while. But I made a post this one time talking about the value of the selfie too. Like, a lot of people bring it down, but I'm like, can we just celebrate for half a second when somebody feels so good about themselves that they take a picture and they're like, hell yeah, I look good, I'm putting it out in the world.
Totally.
In a world of self-hate, mm-hmm. I love when people still take a selfie. I love seeing my fellow moms and my friends from high school when I get to see their face in my feed, because, you know, you grow away.
It's so true, because moms tend to like be like, oh, I don't want to be in the photo, like, and always make it about their kids because they don't want to be in it. But it is probably nice to say, oh, there you are. Like, good to see you. Good to see you.
And like, you don't need to have your hair freshly done. You don't need to have all these like things. And I think that's kind of with the filter part too. Like, there's part of me that's like, okay, I love you with the adorable dog ears, but I'd really love to see your face. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to see you because mm-hmm. I miss you. Like, there's part of that, and I think that's what's really nice about the Reelstagram, is that we're starting to see our people again, and we're starting to see them in like these raw ways. And I think also when you put that out there, you kind of do open the door for the next person mm-hmm. to feel like it's okay, because when they see you, like when they see you without your makeup and they're like, frig, she's stunning. Why can't I feel stunning without makeup? Like, of course you can, but you start to see that value in kind of stripping away all of the excess, right?
Yeah. So true.
Like, you're more relatable. And I think that sometimes people, if you're always looking a certain way, so done up, then you just can't connect with that person the same way. And it's interesting because all your Reelstagrams are some of the most, you get the most likes on your Reelstagrams.
Yeah. Because I think it's probably refreshing on people's feeds, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think there can be a balance of both. I think you should 100% be able to do anything. And it's funny because that's one thing I love about the change in Instagram in general, and just kind of the movement of social media, is we have all these beautiful curated pictures. Like, even me and my raw photos, they still have like a very, I color filter them, so they look aesthetically pleasing. I like things to have an aesthetic, but, you know,
it's got to go with the feed.
It's got to go with the feed.
Do you do Instagram stories?
That's what I was going to say. That's where the texture is. Like, there's my posts are usually pretty serious. There's usually a little bit of depth. It's usually something that I've written and I've paired a photo with.
Right.
My stories are just like random crap that's going on in my life and like a whole lot of just normalcy.
I love that.
I love it too. It's my favorite.
Do you follow Jillian Harris?
Yeah. She's the best on the stories.
She's the best.
People are obsessed with her.
Yes, because I honestly, she's one that I'm like, I just keep, I don't even know why, but her voice, maybe it's because she's from Alberta and so am I, but like, her voice sounds comforting to me, and she's always just like so real, and her page is always so beautiful, and then her stories, she like, I mean, she rocks her gray hair roots she will be like, I'm so tired. She doesn't put an ounce of makeup on. Her stories are just so raw.
That's the texture. Yeah. It's the texture everybody craves. It's the reality that people crave without the effort, where her feed is so beautiful.
Okay. You can like do these beautiful photos, but this is what your real life is.
Yeah.
And anyone can really have that, to be honest. If you had the right team, makeup, hair, mm-hmm. People who know what they're doing on social media, photographers, all these things, anyone could really do it. Like, even when I first came off the show, I was like, how do people get such pretty pictures and like have a color theme?
You
and
become
like
a creator.
Yeah.
And I think it's an understated value for a lot of people who kind of live in that world. And it took me a long time I hate the word like influencer, but that's kind of like the word.
Yeah.
But you're a creator. Back in the day, brands used to pay, you know, companies, they'd outsource it to individual people who were creators. And now those creators are actually like brands themselves.
Yeah.
There's creator is like a content creator. When you look at someone like Jillian Harris, she's a very intentional content creator.
Yes,
she's very good at what she does, And she's very relatable because she does have that texture in the background. I think if she just had her feed and never had that texture of the stories, maybe it would feel a little bit contrived eventually.
Yes.
But it doesn't, because she has this like genuineness about her.
Yeah.
That when you go on her feed and her pictures are perfect, you're like, double tap, double tap, double
tap.
Like you want to support her because you're like, yes, please, please rise to the top as like a regular. It's beautiful watching like regular humans now just make it in the world and watch brands like Pepsi or whatever like sponsor your girl next door, because the game is level now. Anybody can do it. Like
that's
said,
well, when I came out of the show, it was just such a new thing. Like I feel like that's when social media was really like kind of blowing up and becoming a way of being a business. And so I was so confused by it, but I was loving it at the same time, because people see me on the show and they've only seen this edited version of me. And then they follow me on like Instagram and they see pictures of me. But having the video, and like I was so obsessed with Snapchat and like Instagram stories now, it's such a way to actually show your personality and who you are instead of just like what people think you are or what they think you should be.
Do you find it's hard with like The Bachelor though, watching people go on and you know that they're just on there now because they want to have this account afterwards? Yeah. Like I actually stopped watching the show like a while ago, but almost everybody that I follow that's from Bachelor, I didn't even watch their seasons a lot of times. I just like who they are as a brand afterwards. And there's very few that you can like do that with.
Yeah.
One was like Michelle Money, who like I'm obsessed with
her. She's amazing.
But she did a thing after your season where she just went on this like big talk all about like intimacy and stuff like that. And it was one of the most relatable things I've ever heard in my entire life. And I was like, yeah, so I don't really care that you started on The Bachelor or whatever it was. Like who you are and who you continue to be is so cool and genuine. But it's kind of weird now because you know anybody entering it,
because you can tell by following some people from the Bachelor world that they are like the influencers and that they are like you know, that's their thing, and which is
totally fine.
So lucky. I mean, you know,
authenticity, the authentic ones are the ones that actually last,
right? Yeah. Oh, obviously. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's the poor guys though that like Sean had to work his ass off to like build this brand that he has obviously done a very good job at. But like the guys, I don't feel like, because girls want to see what girls are wearing, their makeup, their hair, their this. Guys, it's so hard for them to build a brand coming off a show like The Bachelor.
I follow a lot of like bearded men. I just like to watch bearded styles.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I saw that your fiance changed his name as like the same, bearded papaya.
Yeah. So did that. Okay. Is so cute. Crazy story. About a month ago. No, it was in June. I accidentally deleted my Instagram. I'm not even kidding. It was like this massive crisis. But it was happening because I was trying. I had like a sub account called The Beards Papaya, and I'm like, if you're not going to use it, I'm just going to delete it. Went to go and try and delete it, and deleted my own. Like literally had to go all the, like they told, Facebook told me I had 48 hours to get it back and like do everything you can. So the world of Instagram just rallied for me.
I had this
backup account that like grew to like 10,000 by like the end of the day, and at hour 45 it came back. But they never told me how or why or anything, but it did come back. But it was because The Beards Papaya.
Oh my gosh. So now like, that's
one of these days, if you could actually use that account, they would make this whole thing worth it.
So now that's Shane's.
Yeah, but he doesn't actually use it. It's funny because you were talking about the other day on your podcast, you were talking about how people really notice when you like don't like your fiance's like photos and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like if any, I don't even text him. Like we're just not like that. We just have like a good relationship that's like very solid that we can go. If he goes away for the weekend, like I don't hear from him except for
and
like
then you probably
ETA.
Have such good conversation when he comes back.
Oh yeah.
Because you have so much to talk about.
I don't want
to
be leashed to that. I want, when I go out, I want to be like free of that. I don't want to be like checking in like, oh, like what am I doing and whatever. Like he really respects my independence, and he knows because I came out of not having that he really respects that I need that, and I want that for him too. But if anybody ever looked at our social medias, they'd be like, are you guys okay? Like,
yeah,
you haven't texted in a week.
like I was saying, one of my girlfriends, I like haven't been liking her photos either, but obviously nobody notices. But she was like, oh my gosh, she's like, I just went and looked at my feed. She goes, I haven't posted about my husband in 3 weeks. And then she's like, but nobody questions us breaking up. Like, it's so funny. But at the same time, that is literally the reason that like 98% of people follow me is to like, you know,
I don't know. Like, yeah, well, of course they want to see you making, like, I think it's nice that you're making it, and I think that there is always going to be that feeling of people love,
yeah,
right?
There's yeah, like, of course,
I love love
so much. I kept my relationship a secret for quite a while because I like a year.
Oh wow.
So when I came out with it, it was like this again, whenever I feel hesitant or nervous, you know it's going to be important. So I posted this picture of the two of us, and I introduced him to the world, and the response was like so beautiful. And then we got engaged like 2 months later and the response was like so beautiful. And I'm like, okay, thank goodness. It's just, it's weird. I knew that it was crossing me from being one to like the other.
Yeah.
It was just like suddenly I was so genuine and shared about everything. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, by the way, I've been keeping this massive secret from you guys.
Because
I'm so sorry.
One, you have kids too, that you want to make sure that this is like the right guy before you introduce him. So that makes a lot of sense.
I was lucky.
I said one, like I had a two and a three and a four, but I didn't. Just one.
Well, one. Just one point. I was lucky in my relationship with him. We kind of got to, like, a lot of people will ask about like the blended family thing, mm-hmm. and they have like science has like science. I don't know who the science is, but science has said that secondary relationships, John Travolta and the science. Tom Cruise too. They've said that secondary breakups are so much harder on kids because you don't think about the fact that they never get to see that person again. Yeah. So Shane and I knew that this was going
Does Shane have kids?
No, none. Okay. That's what we were just talking about. We're just saying like, will we ever have a fun time baby? Like, I don't know. I was going to kind of fake out on confession and be like, guys, no.
Oh.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, let's confess.
You want me to confess?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm super into a confession right now. I'm trying to think. Clue, do I have any confessions? Has anything happened really embarrassing in the last? Yeah, think about it. Because I'm like,
made your coffee, I just realized.
I know. Oh, it's okay. I'll have it after my wine. My mid-afternoon wine. I'm trying to think if something has happened. I feel like I thought of one thing, but I feel like I've confessed this before. And I'm like, after so many podcasts, you kind of forget like what you've confessed. But I'm like, maybe this happened to me twice. But you know how I like, if you don't have a tampon, you like, what? Wind up some like toilet paper like put it in there like I call it a man pon, like a man-made tampon.
A DIY pon.
DIY pon. I know what that means now. I think I have confessed something similar to this, but I had that and then I went to pull down my undies to like go to the bathroom and not realizing that that had come out and it was on the floor.
Oh no.
My underwear.
Oh yeah, that was a confession. I accidentally God, what, how can I not at the age of 33 figure out when to change a tampon or like not leak? Like what?
Okay.
You were staying in my house and then you're like, shoot, I didn't bring any underwear. And I was like, okay. I'm like, here's like a cute one, you know, one of those Calvin you're Klein like, ones.
Better give her the
and
good
I was
ones.
Like, yeah. And then we went and did a big hike. And then she's like, oh my God, I need to go to the bathroom right now. There is something happening. The flow is happening. And I was like, oh my God, she's wearing my underwear.
Yeah. I totally ruined her like super cute pair of Calvin Kleins.
Isn't
like,
it funny though? Like, I always find it hilarious how shocked we are when we get our periods. This guy said to me, he's like, you know, if my junk bled one time a month, you better believe I'd know exactly the moment that was going to happen. I'm like, I'm always just still surprised. I have an app now that tells me, but I'm like,
surprised every time. And I'm always surprised at like how often I'm like, it should be fine. I'll just go do this hike. And then it's like, learn your lesson, Caitlin. Like,
yeah.
But how many pairs of underwear have we gone through?
Why are you not on the Diva Cup yet?
Okay. I've been hearing all about this Diva Cup.
No, it's a thing and it's the best thing ever. I love it.
Yes, actually, I've heard this. So
it's very gross the first time you're like dealing with it. Cause I think it's the first time like you identify with your body being like a bleeding thing, because normally a tampon you're just like take it out and toss it. It's cool because you suddenly start to like identify with that part of your body and you like have to dump it out, but it's really great because you can wear it even if you think your period's coming without risk, and you wear it for like 12 hours.
Yeah, that's
so really
what I
only
keep
doing
hearing
it.
Because tampons are like so sketch for like chemicals and
they feel really gross once you go back to using them after being on like a cup.
Really?
Like you go back and you're like, what the heck was I doing? It was really weird. But pair it with, there's Nixwear. They're like a local Toronto Canadian company.
Yeah.
She invented like leak proof underwear. Pair that.
Oh, wow.
With a Diva Cup and you're just like flying high.
Match made
it's
in heaven.
Best thing
That's
ever.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Cause I went to like pull up my underwear and I like washed my hands and left the room and then
did somebody else see it?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Luckily it was just my mom, but she like saw my little DIY tampon,
you know,
just
what,
sitting on the ground, and I was like, mom.
One year at Christmas we were all together, this is not my confession, this is weak, but one year at Christmas we were all, I always like to use the upstairs bathroom of the house, and it was back when I was using tampons, and I guess I flushed one of my parents don't have a toilet that you can like flush with that, and then my grandfather went to like use the bathroom later, and then all of a sudden my mom, like an hour later, she's like, just so you know, like your dad is like currently working on a massive flood that went on upstairs, I guess you flushed a tampon and there's like bloody water all over the floor, your grandfather found it and now your dad's cleaning it up.
No.
And it was like this and then I just burst out laughing, so I was like, what else can you do? They're awkward. I'm just like, sorry. Like, I didn't know. It's beyond the point of where I could do anything about it.
Are you really close with your dad?
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it was still like, we're not like that close. I would never tell him about my period. Right. So
that's, the relationship I had with my dad, like all growing up, I remember him being like I was really insecure about how skinny my arms were all my life. Aww. And because they were so skinny, my arms looked super hairy. Like, because they were like, I don't know, didn't have enough like space to like,
I don't know.
What do you mean space?
What space is that?
No, maybe that was just a lie I told myself this whole time.
I shaved my arms.
Well, because I do now.
Yeah.
But my dad would go buy me bleach cream to bleach my arm hair because it was so dark. And he'd always tell me like,
that's the solution.
Kate, you know, like you can get me to like get you like hair remover or bleach cream. And he would always like want me to like have, and we were super close. Like, but he's the cutest.
Stop.
He is honestly the sweetest man you'll ever meet in
your
life.
What is his name?
Mike.
Okay, I really wanted to be like Ron or something really adorable. But Mike's good. Oh, we can go with Mike.
We call him Big Mike, and he's super little.
Really?
Yeah, he's so tiny.
Aww.
And he's honestly just like the sweetest little man with a mustache and like just...
You put your parents in your stories a lot though, don't you?
Well, my mom and Rob. But so my dad was never like a big performer, social media kind of guy.
Performer.
He's more of like I'm very in the moment with my dad, and we have like solid conversations, and I just feel like I would never just pop him up and put him on my Instagram story. Like, he's more like, what is that? Like, what's now? He has Instagram though, which is so funny.
So awkward. My dad just trolls mine. He's like, there's holes in your jeans. I'm like, get out of here. You're such a troll.
My dad reads the comments and gets fired up. I'm like, Dad, don't do that. But yeah, he would always, but I remember one time, I had like got my period for one of the first times, and I came out of the shower and I like went to go upstairs, and my dad goes, "Hey, Kate." And I'm like, "What?" I was probably like 16. He's like, "Did you cut yourself shaving?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, there's blood all over the floor." And I was like, "Huh?" I was like, "Wait, I did. Yeah, I totally cut myself shaving." Shoot. Whoops, better get me a band-aid. Like, I was like, so I could have just been like, "Oh, Dad, I got my period." He would not have cared.
Oh my god,
he wouldn't have cared at all. He would have been like, "Oh," and he would have probably cleaned it up, because that's the kind of man he is. That's weird. But like, I was like, "Oh yeah, I did, I cut myself, ouch."
But like, it's so funny, like period talk now. I'm always like, my daughter hasn't gotten hers yet, and she's gonna kill me if she ever listens to this one day, but I'm like so excited for it. I'm like, mm-hmm. not excited for her to get it, but I'm like, I
congratulations
just
on being a woman.
Me. Like, let's talk about it. Like, let's have fun with this, right? Like, it sucks, but like, let's be real about it.
Yeah.
She's just like not there. She doesn't want to talk about it at all. My best friend actually came over, and I put her in her room, and I was like, listen, one of us is going to tell you how to use a pad, because if it happens to you at school, I don't want you going to the 25 cent machine. So one of us is going to show you. Which one are you going to do? And she's like, Mom, get out. She can show me. And I was like, okay, Ariana's going to show you how to put on a pad.
Aww.
And they like went and did
I think
their
that's
thing.
So cool. Like, even going back to like the selfie and the Instagram and the, like what our kids are going to have to go through with social media, I think just having like such an open, honest like communication with your parents and being able to have these conversations and like have them be able to know that they can come to you without feeling ashamed is like so, so important.
I like to embarrass the heck out of them and then hope that one day they'll feel okay to embarrass themselves. Like if I just talk openly, like, and they're always like, Mom, but I'm like, no, seriously, that's what's going on with me.
I want to be the same way.
My son is like he's very like in tune with me, I guess. Maybe I've shared a little too much. He walked into the bathroom once when I had my period, and he was like, I'll go get a Band-Aid. And I was like, no. Like, it's cool. And I had to explain the whole thing to him. And ever since then, he's kind of like been really in tune with it. So one day I had come home and I was like talking to the kids, and I was like, I actually have to go to the bathroom. I feel like I might have gotten my period. So I go to the bathroom, and he comes over and he like knocks on the door, and he's like, Mom, how's your period going? Is it okay?
Aww.
And I was like, yeah, dude, it's fine. He's like, also, I didn't think you were having that for like another 3 days. And I was like, wait, what? I'm like, you need to just know.
Oh my gosh, I hope I have that relationship with my kids.
I know, Shane heard it though, and he like texts me, and he's like, yeah, Mom, how's your period going? And I was like, ah, crap, I'm either screwing him up or I'm really making him a good husband for somebody.
Oh, he's going to be such a good...
Let's go with the positive.
No, when you're outnumbered by women as a guy in a house, you become like a sensitive soul, and like I just believe that. I really do.
I do too. He thinks that women are like the top of the world, so he is all about like,
that is
he thinks that girls are like the coolest.
How old is he?
He's 8 now.
8. Wait, that's so special.
Yeah. I actually just realized, say, they're going to freak out that I'm going to Vancouver because they're obsessed with Riverdale.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Filming there.
Yeah. Riverdale. That's so funny because one of the guys is like freaking Ben Ross's son.
Friends.
Yeah, Ben.
Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yes, what? Because it's Ben.
It's Ben from Friends. It's
like
Jughead.
Ross's little boy, Ben. Same guy from Big Daddy as well. Yeah. Like, I'll wipe my own ass.
And then they went on to The Suite Life of Zach and Cody.
So I met them when they were at Cactus Club at this restaurant. And I like tweeted something. And I was like, those kids are underage drinking at Cactus. And Cactus Club actually got in a lot of trouble because I guess the server didn't ID them. Anyways, I ended up meeting them again. And the one guy, Dylan. Is his name?
Yeah.
Dylan?
What's the other one? I think you're right.
I think.
Sprouse, Cole and Dylan. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. Sprouse.
That's the same guys, right?
Yeah, twins. Yeah.
But that's the same. So Suite Life is of Zach and Cody. Their names aren't actually Zach and Cody.
No, they're not Zach and Cody.
Okay, so Dylan. I still have Dylan's number in my phone because he asked me to like help him read lines or something one time. Yeah, like he was staying at the hotel behind me and I was like, I hope this isn't weird, like, because he's like obviously super young. Like, I hope he doesn't think this is like a flirty thing. But anyways, yeah. But it's so funny because then I like had him on Snapchat just from being in my phone with my number. And I was like, who is in my phone as Dylan Disney? And that's what he was in my phone as Dylan Disney. And now I like see him on Snapchat sometimes. But anyways,
that's
super
hilarious.
Random.
Isn't it crazy that that's who it is now, though? Like,
it's so weird.
Jughead.
So weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. That show is like, and all the parents are like the people we thought were hot in the 90s. Like the fact that Skeet Ulrich is the dad.
Yeah.
Throws me off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot. And like Molly Ringwald's mother, the mom, Luke Perry's a dad in it.
Oh, yeah. I've only seen
Mark
a couple episodes.
Consuelos.
Oh,
all
yeah.
The parents.
Oh, yeah, that's so Mark and Swan.
Well, my kids are, like, really fans, so we kind of watch it together.
That's hot. Wait, haven't confessed.
Yeah, I know, I was going to say, what's your confession?
Ha-ha. Spill it.
All right, this is a pretty, it's not that long a story, but it's a good story.
Okay.
So, after kids, they encourage you to do, like, a lot of Kegels and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, I had been doing them, and I just found them frustrating. I don't know why I don't love them. They're just, like, a weird sensation for me. So, I had heard something about Kegel balls, so I decided to go and buy some on Amazon.
Yeah.
Like, as you do.
Kegel
you,
balls,
like,
yeah.
You know, grab your Roomba and your Kegel balls.
Yeah.
So, ordered the Kegel balls, got them, put them in, and all of a sudden, one, like, disappears, and I'm, like, friggin' losing my mind. So, first of all, no longer have to fear that my vagina isn't strong enough because apparently it's too strong and it is literally holding the balls like deep inside me. And I'm Googling and it's saying everything's fine. Like, you don't have to worry about it. Just push them out, birth them. So, I birthed them and I washed them and I did not put them back in their velvet little bag. I just threw them in my bedside table and left it for like good. I was not dealing with the Kegel balls. I was okay to like lose my Amazon $12. So, a few weeks later, I don't even know how long it was, my son comes up to me and he was like, Mom, I'm really sorry. He's like weirdly confessional about things. He never gets in trouble because he just like always confesses.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm really sorry. I lost your marbles. And I was like, What marbles? I don't have any marbles. You don't have to worry about it, bud. And he's like, no. Like I borrowed them because they were like the good metal ones that you can use in battle. And I lost them in a battle. And I was like, wait. So my confession is there's a child in the world that is holding on to my Kegel balls that my son lost in a fight.
That's amazing.
That's like a real story that I carry with me. And that is just,
that's
I tell
great,
it's like my good
confession.
Friends, but that is like not something I would like, how do you even tell that story? Yeah. Like, it's just like, how would you
that's
even explain
so
how my
funny.
Son ended up with like Kegel balls, except for the fact that he went into my bedside table, which has other unmentionables, and just decided to take these things out and go and play them on the school grounds like a pog.
That's funny.
That was real.
Wow.
So, yeah, he only lost one. The other one did come back. And
I hope the kid's mom listens to this podcast.
Could you imagine?
And then she realizes.
I don't know if she'd be able to tell the difference between like an actual marble and like one of these things. Well, and I would really hope because they're just like a metal. They're just like little. They're like a little metal marble.
Cleo, you gave me, what was the yoni?
The yoni egg. What's have you ever heard of yoni egg? So it's interesting because if you have a strong, like if you still have strong muscles down there, but. So the yoni egg is something that's like it's becoming popular and you actually, it's this quartz or depending on whatever rock you want. And then you like
stick it up in there.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be like you're in touch with your femininity and it's really close to your like uterus.
And you just shove up in your cooter.
Exactly. Yeah. But the interesting thing is you buy it and you're like, so how do you take it out? Because you're just like shoving it up there.
Right.
And so they're like, oh no, they're like, you're supposed, like, your body rejects this when it's ready to. But the first time that you put it in, it's usually, they say like, it's usually going to be up there for like a day or two. An hour or two. And then it comes out. But as obviously your muscles, I guess, are getting stronger and your body's accepting it more, then it can, like, it stays up there longer.
So what if you're just hanging out in your sweats around the house or like undies, it just pops out and all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's my egg.
No, I've never found that it just like comes out. It's like more so like egg. If you're.
That's my favorite part.
You lay an egg.
You lay an egg.
Well, but it's like, it's interesting. I think it's more so, it's definitely been like when you go to the bathroom or thing, or when you're activating that, because then it gets used to it. Like for me, it's been up there for like 3 days and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I start panicking.
You have it in right now?
No, I don't have it in right now.
3 days?
Yeah, it's up there for 3 days. I actually forgot about it.
Like, I feel like with my luck, my parents would come over and I'd accept them over for a dinner party and all of a sudden, plunk, plunk, it would come and I'd be like,
oh, that's what I was thinking. Or like, okay, but what about if you're going to the bathroom? What if you like
plunk it,
unleash the poop dragon and it plunks out and then you have to go fishing for it?
That would suck. So I think you have to be so conscious of it. And then if you are going to go number two, if you're going to go poop, then you have to like somehow like hold the
What they tell you to do that after childbirth.
They do.
You have to like hold your vagina.
Because I think it's actually good practice as well for when you are going to have kids and like just strengthening that area.
I mean, that makes sense.
And apparently it makes orgasms feel way better too.
Because I'm
curious. Well, you could tell us.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and tell you because
my parents are listening.
Yoni egg. My parents are listening and now know that my son found my Kegel balls. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, now you have to get yourself a yoni egg. And I got you one and you have to use it.
I know. I keep getting scared.
How big is it? Can you just like, is it actually egg size?
Okay, wait. What's like for the people listening, how do we describe?
Maybe a duck egg size?
Like
quail egg?
A quail egg. Yes. Yes. Okay. It is that size.
But it's okay. Okay, I will say it's like just get yourself a yoni egg. Do yourself a favor.
Hashtag sponsored.
Where
are you, yoni egg?
Yeah, yoni egg. Wait, they don't even need to sponsor. Apparently, we're just selling them like hotcakes,
right? Diva cups.
Diva cups and yoni eggs. If you take away anything from this podcast, it's get yourself a yoni egg and a diva cup.
And if you're a guy, we're really sorry that you're listening
so
to this.
Sorry. Body positivity.
There's no way a single guy
includes vagina health.
So I do have like two male listeners.
How can you tell? Can you see? Listeners.
No, but I just judge off my Instagram.
Okay. How many? Do you have like a percentage on your Instagram?
Yes.
You know how many? Because mine is like astronomically women.
Mine is two.
I think.
Mine is, let's see, 10% men, 90% women.
Okay. So I'm 6% men, 94% women. By the way, remember how I said that my fiance never texts me?
He did.
Right now. This is what he said. Why does fridge have a D and refrigerator doesn't?
Good question.
Wow, that is a great question.
Thanks, Shane.
Now I'm thinking so deeply about this question. Refrigerator. And there's like a very clear D in there. Refrigerator.
Yeah.
Fridge.
I know.
Interesting.
Good question.
Yeah. Good question. Reply with this. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, we've had that whole argument before. I think I can't remember what we decided.
Oh, well, I have other
heated.
I have other questions for you before we wrap this out. Wrap this out. What's wrong with me?
Rock and roll.
Okay. It's a little game of you can go with this or you can go with that. You can go with this or you can go. You know the song?
Yeah. No.
You don't?
It's such a hype up song.
If you're not prepared to play this or that after that song, if that didn't hype you up for this game, I don't know what will.
Hyped.
Are you hyped? Okay. Oh, I need my phone to ask you the questions. Okay, here we go. Just some questions to get to know you better.
Great.
Toilet paper, over or under?
I don't care as long as it's changed. And you know
what?
Oh,
wow.
I have a lot of people in my house as long as it's changed. I don't care.
Fair.
That is fair.
There apparently is a scientific answer to it, and apparently it's better if it is over because people touch the wall if it's under and you're transferring bacteria and over time it builds up.
Oh,
so
interesting.
That it's always rubbing against that. And also because you have to grip the top to rip the bottom, that always means that you're touching it
But honestly, you're like, I just don't care.
And there's probably a lot of bacteria in a lot of other places. Yeah. Okay. When you put your cups in the cupboard, right side up or upside down?
Right side up.
Mm, me too. Collects bacteria if you... podcast or book? You won't insult me.
No, that's two different times of the day. Right now, podcast.
Okay. What's your favorite podcast besides mine?
Besides yours? I'm on and off with the Lady Gang.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
I have a friend, Amanda, who has one that's called The Sandwich. It's pretty new, and mm-hmm. I like that one as well.
Have you heard Gold Digger with Jenna Kutcher?
No, but I should listen to her because I actually love her so much.
Yeah, she has a good podcast.
But she's just everywhere, so I don't know like where the right thing to find her. So I'm just usually on Instagram. I actually don't even know that I knew that she was on a podcast.
Oh, really?
What is your favorite? Just so you like.
I've never listened to a podcast.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I don't know if I've ever listened to a podcast.
Oh, wow. That's a confession.
I guess that is
you
a confession.
You didn't know what DIY was?
Yeah.
You left pads on the floor. Yeah. Bloody tap.
Man-made ones.
Man-made ones. Now this. Good.
A Goop podcast?
Yep.
I bet that's good.
That
oh, you know what? I lied. I've listened to Oprah's Super Soul Sundays once.
That was fun either. They're a great thing to listen to when I'm working, which is why I felt like that was two different answers. Because like a book is really great at the end of the day, but a podcast is really great if you're like commuting somewhere or working. So great.
Do you like the infant phase or the toddler phase?
Toddler. Funny, man. They're funny.
So funny. Skip coffee or skip sleeping in?
Skip sleeping in.
Oh, really?
I don't ever sleep in. I'm up at 5:30 like every day. My internal alarm is like not working. It's always working.
If someone asked me like, what are your skills? Like, what are you good at? I'd say sleeping in.
Wow.
I love sleeping in. Okay. Chocolate or chips?
Chocolate. Dark chocolate.
Amen. I'm both. 90%
dark.
I like don't know which one. Yeah, I like 90. Yeah, me too.
I feel like a dark.
Yeah, and it makes me feel better about eating it, but I love chips so much. Ketchup chips. Be on a talk show or have your own talk show?
Ooh, have my own.
Yeah.
I want to ask people weird questions that they never would normally talk about. You kind of have one.
Ask me a question that you would, if you were on a talk show, if you were a talk show host, what would you ask me?
Oh, see, I would ask you like something very selfish. I'd be like, what's your one beauty product that you will never live without?
Or
like if you had to do microbladed brows or Botox, which one would you give up?
Oh, I would give up brows. I would give up brows 100%.
Oh, see, I'm always to beat with that.
Because I could pencil in these suckers.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
What is one beauty
product? One beauty product. You had to have one forever.
It would be something to do with your skin routine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like it would probably just be moisturizer, to be honest. Moisturizer or like sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. Not like a certain one? You don't even care?
No.
No, just a moisturizer.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I'm such a mascara. I feel like mascara can get you through anything. When I was like 13, my parents only let me have mascara. So I saw that
on your website. Yeah, you'd like use it as like eyeshadow.
Can manipulate it. I used it and I would like melt it down and I'd use it as an eyeshadow. And then I'd take the metal end and I'd use it as eyeliner. And then I'd use it as mascara. You could really use it for everything.
That is very resourceful.
I mean, your parents tell you can only have one. So
I was only allowed eyeliner.
Might be the thing.
Yeah,
eyeliner. Wow, because that can go dangerously wrong.
It did. It did go dangerously wrong. Would you rather help your kids with English or math?
You just asked me a question of something I would never do anyways. Oh. I'm always like, if they're not teaching you it in school, I'm not doing it for you.
Not my problem.
Learn. Yeah. The internet, kid.
Yeah.
Learn Google. Like an adult.
It's 2018. Be a millennial.
English would have to be my answer.
Okay.
Because this is probably the only one I could even help with.
What?
They would be Gen Z.
No. What year were you born in?
85.
I was 84. So I'm 84. I'm the cutoff. I think 83 and 84 is the cutoff.
Oh, really?
So we're still millennial.
Oh,
we're
cool.
Okay.
Whew. Oh, I feel cool.
We're just, have you watched that? There's that comedian, that blonde girl. She's on Netflix right now and she calls it the elder millennial. Like you're just the elders of it.
Chelsea, oh, that's
just
funny.
Have lived a little bit. What's that? Chelsea. No, like Eliza.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know who you're talking
really
about.
It's actually really good.
Oprah or Ellen?
Ellen.
Yeah. Okay, same. Oh my gosh, so many people would say Oprah.
She's very inspirational, but Ellen's an escape.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Totally. Right? Night Out or Netflix and Chill?
Night Out.
I was going to ask mascara or foundation, but I already have my answer.
That's hard. If you had asked mascara or concealer, it would have been a different conversation.
Yeah. Love or lust?
Damn. Yeah, love.
Yeah.
Yeah, love.
I would say that too. It's, yeah. But I would think about hard. It for a hot minute.
Yeah, you do have to think about it because they do kind of come hand in hand. I think that there's a level of intimacy that's very different with love. Yeah. And then there's a level of intimacy that only happens with lust.
Yeah.
And I think they're two different things. But if I think about it, what do I want to invest in for 50 years? I'm going to go with love.
Yeah.
Because I think the lust is going to kind of walk out the door sometimes and then come back. Right.
I'm so into that. Okay. Tell everybody where they can find you. Your blog. Tell us everywhere. Everything.
My blog's under construction because I'm fighting for my name back. I lost my domain, but I'm the Birds Papaya on Instagram. That's probably the best way to find me. I do have a blog that is just Birds Papaya, which feels weird because I lost the.
You dropped the.
The Birds Papaya. Instagram. Find me there. That's my wheelhouse. It's been nice because as busy as things get, it's the one place that still is a little bit instantaneous. And I love it there. I story a lot. I like to stay relevant. So yeah.
Do you like jokes?
Love jokes.
Do you have any?
No, I'm horrible. What? I'm horrible at telling them because I laugh halfway through.
Like that's the best.
Yeah, no, I don't have any like long ones that actually even make sense. I usually just go with, what do you call a cheese that's not yours? And it's like nacho cheese.
Oh, yeah, it's always a good classic joke. Classic. Cleo?
I like to hear jokes.
No, mine is too long. It's
long. How long?
Well, they can edit it out if it's not good. Sure. Okay, so there's these three guys that go up to heaven. They pass away, so they go up to heaven. And there's a gatekeeper to allow them to go in. Inside the heaven castle.
Oh boy, this is already going horribly. Go on.
Edit out. Going edit the gate.
We get it. They go through the gates. Yeah. Yeah.
And then so the gatekeeper asks the first guy, "Have you ever cheated on your wife?" And he's like, "You know what? I have to be truthful. Yes, I cheated on her my whole life, but I feel really bad about it now, and I really regret it." They're like, "Okay, well, sounds good." Then he goes through the gates of heaven and then he has a bicycle waiting for him. He's like, "Okay, I guess I deserve that." So then he asks the second guy, he's like, "Have you ever cheated on your wife?" And he's like, "You know what?" He's like, "I did a couple of times, but I felt really bad about it and I actually confessed." And he's like, "Okay, sounds good." So goes through the gates of heaven and then he has like a nice motorcycle. And he's like, "Okay, sounds good." Asks the third guy, "Have you ever cheated on his wife?" And he's like, "Never. I can honestly say that I've never even looked at another woman." And he's like, "Okay, well, sounds good. Go through the gates of heaven." And then there's a beautiful convertible waiting for him. So he's driving down this convertible and thinking life is good. And then all of a sudden he sees his wife on rollerblades.
Oh,
that's good, Clea.
Once we got past the gates, it was great.
Yeah, once we got past the gate, that was
really good.
You're like, "You know, the gates." So they were like, "Yeah, you could go
also,
there."
That girl owned him.
Yeah. The whole time that you're going on about this, I'm like, "So what you're saying is you can still get into heaven if you cheat?" I don't like this at all. That's stupid.
Oh my god!
But we ended it on with a good laugh. So I'm Caitlin Bristow. So thank you so much for being here with me today. Now I just want to call you Sarah Nicole.
You can.
Okay.
That's still my name.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
With OTV.
Sponsors for this week's Off the Vine are Express. Go to express.com and use code Caitlin in store or 4841 online for $25 off when you spend $100. And Tommy John. Visit TommyJohn.com/vine for 20% off your first order.